I believe if they put a little energy into that last song, it might have done something. That was incredible. That could have been a theme for this series. And I hope that you're loving this series, Thrive, because listen, God wants you to thrive. That's the promise Isaiah told us about when he said, I will pour out my spirit on your descendants and my blessings on your children. They will thrive. God wants you to thrive. And what we've seen as we've been walking through this series is that every story in the Bible that God gives to us is there to point you towards Jesus so that you have the possibility that you might thrive. We began this series by looking at Joshua as he stepped into the deep water, and we learned that you can trust. You can trust the Father. He's reliable. So do you trust the Father? Do you trust His word in your life? And then with Naomi, we watched as she returned home in scandal, and we learned that not only can God be trusted, but that God is good. He gives to us hope. And if it's not good in your life right now, you need to understand that. It just means that God is not done in your life right now. Then through Sarah, we learned that hard lesson of letting go, of release, and the importance of letting go of the disappointments and the brokenness in our life. We watched her endure a lifetime of struggle. But when she did release, God was able to work in her life, and He filled and blessed her and restored her laughter. Then last week, we looked at Jacob. Jacob, as he took the initiative, he moved towards God rather than being stuck where he was in life. And like him, we got to wake up, we have to get up, and we have to step up to what God has called us to do. He will do a finishing work in your life when you do that. And this week, we're going to unpack the next quality that is essential for us to thrive, and that is valor, courage, boldness, daring. And I know of no better story for us to unpack today than the story of the life of Gideon. So open your Bibles to the book of Judges, Judges chapter 6, Judges chapter 6. And while you're finding that passage, let me introduce myself to you. My name's Kevin Lee. I'm one of the pastors here. Would love to meet you. If we've not yet met, I'll be out in the commons after the service where we could visit with one another. And listen, let me ask you to do something for me. We ask everybody every week to fill out a digital Connect card. The easiest way to do that is use your mobile device and scan the QR code that's on the screen or on the seat back in front of you, or use the Newark Fellowship app. Open up that app where you can access today's program, and the top link on the program every week is the digital Connect card, and we ask everybody to complete that. That is so important. In fact, if it's your first time or your second time to complete it, we're actually going to make a $10 donation to one of our local ministry partners, because we just believe that that's important. So as you take that step to connect, you actually step into a blessing work. So we encourage you to do that. And listen, today is our big barbecue bash. Maybe you got a sniff of it on the way in. Immediately after this service, we're going to start serving. We'll serve after the third service as well. And one of the things we want to point out to you is there's a little pamphlet that we want to put in your hand that's talking about all of the events for this summer. If you didn't get one of these on your way in, look for one of the pastors on your way out, and they will put one of these in your hand so you can keep up with everything that is happening this summer. All right, let's read this story of Gideon in the book of Judges, chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 11, but let me encourage you to keep your Bible open, because we're actually going to go back and read a few of the verses that we're not reading this morning as well during the message. So beginning in verse 11, the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath a great tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, the son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." "Sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all of this happened to us? And where are all the miracles that our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you." "But Lord," Gideon replied, "how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family." The Lord said to him, "I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man." I love this story. The Lord shows up, the angel of the Lord shows up and says, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." And I'm old enough that I still like the KJV on this, because this is what it says: "The Lord is with you, thou mighty man of valor." It always makes me laugh, because you got to recognize where Gideon is when the angel shows up and declares that he is this mighty man of valor, this hero. He's down in a wine press trying to thresh out just a little bit of grain. Now, you need to understand that the way in which you would thresh grain typically is out in a place where it's wide open, where the wind is blowing, and what you do is you take that grain, and what you're separating is the grain head from the chaff that covers it. And the way you do that is you throw that grain into the air, and then as the wind blows, it blows off the chaff. And so this is something that's done repeatedly over and over, and you would do it out in the open. You would be visible forever. But instead, he is in a wine press, like a hole in the ground. If it was in this room, he would be down here under the stage where you can't even see him. And he's trying to just get a little bit of grain out because he is afraid. In fact, he's not the only one that's afraid. Back in verse 2 that we didn't read, it told us that everybody is hiding. So here he is down here just trying to hide and get this grain and stay in seclusion. Don't want anybody to see where he is. And all of a sudden, this angel shows up and says, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." And I imagine it was loud. Doesn't tell us in the text, but I think it was loud. And you would have this moment where Gideon would have gone, "Shh, don't say anything. I'm just trying to get a little bit of grain." And so when I read that, I kind of laugh and I think, isn't that amazing? God speaks sarcasm too. But you know what? I really don't think it is sarcasm. I think it's something a little bit beyond this. I think it's revelation. When God announces that to Gideon, what God is doing is pulling back a curtain, and he is showing Gideon what God can see in him that Gideon cannot see in himself. God is saying to him, "I see something more in you than you can see. And this is not only who is in you, this is who you are becoming with me." And listen, God would do the same thing with every one of you. God sees more in you than you can see in yourself. And so you have to trust him. God calls you to trust him so that he can draw out of you what you only see as impossible. So how do you step into valor? How do you step into that calling that God gives you? Because here's the danger. We can allow our fear to limit our future. We can let our self-doubt talk us out of the risk that we are facing. We can let our personal history compromise the preferred future that God has for us. If you want to thrive, you have to cultivate valor in your life. And Gideon teaches us that the first step into valor is this. Number one, you have to move beyond your fear. You see, God starts with us right where we are, wherever it is that we are hiding. In verse 11, we're told that Gideon was hiding, and for good reason. Let's go back and read those early verses now. Verse 2, same chapter. It says, "The Midianites were so cruel that the Israelites made hiding places for themselves in the mountains, caves, and strongholds. And whenever the Israelites planted their crops, marauders from Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east would attack Israel, camping in the land and destroying crops as far away as Gaza. They left the Israelites with nothing to eat, taking all the sheep, the goats, the cattle, and donkeys. These enemy hordes, coming with their livestock and tents, were as thick as locusts. They arrived on droves of camels, too numerous to count, and they stayed until the land was stripped bare. So Israel was reduced to starvation by the Midianites. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. Let me tell you, Gideon had good reason to be afraid. And not just Gideon. Everybody with him had good reason to be filled with fear. And it was pervasive. It was everyone, all of the Israelites. They were overwhelmed with fear. In fact, you could even describe it this way. They were literally suffering from a pandemic of anxiety. And you know what the reality is? That's kind of part of what we have been going through over the last 15 months or so, is not only the pandemic of the virus, but the pandemic of anxiety. I recently read that our fear overload just continues to be on the rise even as we've turned the calendar. Just over 9% of all Americans, that's 1 in 10 of us, have a diagnosable phobia. Now, a phobia is an irrational fear, something that has become rampant in us. 33% of us experience anxiety disorders. That's one in every three of us. 35% of us live with chronic stress overload. So what do you do when you're afraid? What do we all do when we're afraid? Well, like Gideon, we hide, don't we? We isolate. We seclude ourselves. And we move away from our fear. But what I want you to see is the cause of their fear really wasn't what the Midianites were doing to them as much as it was they were missing something really important in their lives. In fact, it goes on to reveal that in verse 7. In verse 7, it says, "When they cried out to the Lord because of Midian, the Lord sent a prophet to the Israelites." Now, remember, a prophet is somebody who's going to speak on behalf of God to the people. And so they've asked for help, and this is God's word to them. And the prophet said, "This is what the Lord God of Israel says. I brought you up out of slavery in Egypt. I rescued you from the Egyptians and from all who oppressed you. I drove out your enemies and gave you their land. I told you, I am the Lord your God. You must not worship the God of the Amorites in whose land you now live. But you have not listened to me." Do you see it? Why were they so afraid? God says it's really not so much about what the Midianites are doing. It's because you're not listening to me. I am the one who brought you out of 400 years of slavery in Egypt. I am the one who rescued you from the mighty Egyptian army. I am the one who drove out all of your enemies here and gave you this land that's flowing with milk and honey, but you are not listening to me. Parents, have you ever said that to your children? You're not listening to me. The problem that we're in right now is because you are not listening to me. And here's the thing about fear.
Fear at its root is always all about, who are you listening to? What are you listening to? God said, look, I told you, you're to worship me and only me. But the nation was enticed to worship all of these other gods. You see, they were listening to everyone else. They were listening to everything else. And the result is now they are in hiding. But if they had listened to God, if they had been obeying God, they wouldn't be so afraid. And so God said to them, you are mine. You are to listen to me. But they kept listening to everyone else and chasing after those false gods. And hear me, church. During a season of fear, it is really important that you ask yourself the question regularly, who am I listening to? Where am I getting my truth from? Who is influencing me? Are you listening to the influence of social media? What is your source of truth? Do you listen to the Lord? Are you in His Word? Listen, that's what chair time is all about. Learning God's Word so much that it becomes clear to you what God desires for your life and you can see falsehood around you. Who are you listening to? When you're listening to the Lord, you're ready to step in beyond your fear. In his book, Chase the Lion, Mark Batterson writes this, you can run away from what you're afraid of, but you will be running for the rest of your life. At some point, you have to face your fear, and when you do, you'll discover that fear itself is a coward in the face of courage. Of course, sometimes the thing that scares us is the very thing that God is asking us to do. And sometimes we hide away because we are full of fear and we feel like, what if I fail? What if I fall short? But let me tell you, the better question to ask is, what if you never try? What if you never follow that nudge that God gives you to follow after Him? Let me tell you, the answer is not to move away from your fear, but to move forward beyond your fear. When God shows up and nudges you, you got to move beyond your fear. And then you're ready for this second thing. Number two, in order to cultivate valor in your life, you need to believe beyond your knowing. I love the honest questions that Gideon asked. There in verse 13, he said, if the Lord is with us, then why has all of this bad stuff been happening? I mean, come on, that's the way we think too, isn't it? God, why in the world is all this bad stuff happening to us? Why do these bad things happen? If God is for me, why do I have to go through this? If God cares for me, why do I suffer like this? And then he asks the follow-up question that is even a harder question. He says, and where are all the miracles that our ancestors used to tell us about? Do you ever talk to God like that? I mean, that's pretty bold. God, I read in the Bible all these miracles. How come I can't get my miracle? I read this story about somebody who was healed. Why can't we get our healing miracle? And he asked this tough question about God's power and God's ability and his compassion. Listen, when you go through tough times, I want you to understand it's okay to ask God the tough questions. It really is. Because what that means is, at least you're talking. At least you're talking. And then you need to listen, listen, listen. And listen now to how God answered the tough questions in verse 14. What does God say? Then the Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. Go in the strength that you already have. In other words, listen, you got what you need in order to accomplish this. Now go. It's in front of you. Just go. Just move. Do you see it? God was able to see in Gideon what Gideon could not see in himself. He could not see it, but God knew. God knew Gideon already had what he needed. Gideon just couldn't believe it. It was there all the time. I wonder if that could be true in your life. Could it be the very thing that you're asking God to do, the very thing that you see that God needs to do, is already in you, but you just don't know it? Do you believe? Do you believe that God might actually know more about what you need, what you have, and where you're headed than you know? Let me tell you, I do. I believe that God knows me better than I know me. That God knows what I have better than what I know that I have. That God knows where he's taking me and how he's developing than I know about me. And in fact, I've been reminded of that truth in a powerful way over the last couple of months. Listen, last week, Michael Sheeran shared a little bit about how God worked in this incredible way over the past couple of months to bring him on to our team. And I'm so grateful that God has brought this family to be a part of our team. But let me tell you, at the very same time that all of that was happening that you heard about last week, at the very same time, God was doing another work, and those two works happening simultaneously at the same time just have kind of left me breathless because it's just been amazing. And so today I want to tell you about my journey over the last couple of months. And it was not a geographical journey at all, but it's been an amazing spiritual journey. But I need to go back a little bit. At the beginning of this calendar year, my prayer life has been increasingly focused on the next season for me and the next season for us as a church. So my prayers have just kind of been like this. What's next, God? What's next? Where are you taking us? And I've become increasingly focused around the next 10 years. And there's a reason for that. This year, 2021, is a big number year for me. Later on this year, I'm going to hit a new milestone that begins with a 6 and ends with a 0. But I ain't there yet, so don't age me. I'm still in my young 50s right now, all right? The early 50s. But later this year, I'm going to be hitting that mile marker. And so I felt the nudge of the Lord that I need to pray for and pray over these next 10 years. And so this is the prayer that has become a part of my life right now. I am praying, if the Lord is willing, and if the Lord gives me both the strength and the ability for another 10 years, I want to run hard right here where I am and serve him in this church. That is my hope. And in fact, I would invite you today, if you're so inclined, to join me in that prayer for the next 10. But listen, this is what I understand for that to happen. I'm praying that the Lord needs to keep me physically strong. He needs to keep me mentally sharp. He needs to keep me spiritually true. And so I'm praying that all of those things have to be true in order to finish well in another decade here. And so that's been my prayer. God, this is what I'm laying up. What's coming? And what I'm seeing is God answering prayers. Not audible answers, but inner nudges. Many of you have heard me use the phrase before. You got to follow the nudge. You know, sometimes like God just elbows you that way. And so you follow the nudge. And I'm learning that when God speaks and when I follow, it just opens up an amazing journey. The idea of following the nudge, you can kind of get that idea out of Isaiah 30:21. I like the King James Version. It says it this way: "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left." So you get the idea of a nudge. It's an impression. It's a voice. It's that nudge that's saying, this is the way, go. Jesus said that his sheep hear his voice and they follow him. So I've been following nudges. And this nudge was birthed out of that prayer of, what's next, God? Where are you taking us? In March, I attended a pastor's conference led by two pastors who've had great influence in my ministry, Bob Russell and Steve Stroop. And one of the takeaways from that gathering, one of the things that became really clear in my prayer time as I was thinking about the next 10 years was that as soon as possible, as soon as a student pastor was filled, I needed to move forward on securing a connections pastor because that would be absolutely essential in the next 10 years. Now, let me give you just a little background about what I mean about a connections pastor. In 2016, we actually began looking for a connections pastor. Now, what a connections pastor does, this is somebody that helps people connect. Think about guest services, guest experiences, retention. How do you really get people deeply connected into the church? Strategies for assimilation. How do people who come to New Work Fellowship really become involved and invested in New Work Fellowship? How do you move people from the big room gathering into small group connections and finding their place of service? Now, like I said, we started looking for that in 2016, and we were not successful. But the need continues, and I began to feel this strong nudge. This has got to happen. We need a strategist. We need a specialist. And that's when the nudge came. I know someone who did this at one of the largest churches in the nation. Her name is Teray Jasper. In fact, Teray served with me on staff in Arkansas 25 years ago. She was a student pastor, came to us right out of seminary. Just last year, she moved from Jackson, Mississippi to Lexington, Kentucky. And so the nudge was, go talk to Teray. Go learn from her. Figure out what all of this looks like and what you need. And so I did. On April 6th, 2 days after Easter, I asked her for 2 hours, and so I went up to Lexington, and those 2 hours turned into 3 hours, and I downloaded everything that I could from her about what is involved in healthy connections. What does it take to see that happen? And let me tell you, it was nothing short of exhilarating. It was exciting. And after the meeting came another nudge. Why don't you ask her to come to New Work Fellowship? Cast the vision for what God is doing and ask her to join the work. And so kind of reluctantly after that meeting, I said to her something like this. We don't really have a job or anything right now. Don't have a job description or any of that kind of stuff. But I think you're what we need, so what would it take for you to come and join our team and what God's doing here? And you know what she did? She laughed. She laughed, and then I laughed. But you know what? It cracked open a door, and then conversation started to happen, and it's been an amazing journey. And let me just cut to the chase. I'm announcing today that Teray Jasper is joining our pastoral team. God has brought us 2 pastors in 2 months, all by following a nudge. So I want to share with you a video that will introduce you to Teray Jasper and her husband, Kevin Jasper, and give you a little more information about both of them. Watch this.
So let me share a little background. Like I said, Teray served with me in Arkansas as a student pastor. She has served in Litchfield, Kentucky in a growing ministry. She was student pastor at Bellevue Church in Owensboro during that church's growth to over 2,000 people. And from there, she went to Pine Lake Church in Jackson, Mississippi. For 11 years, she served in a variety of roles: kids minister, small group minister, women's minister, multi-campus ministries, and guest services and assimilation. And while there, Teray learned from some of the best leaders in churches of even over 10,000 people. But now she and her husband, Kevin, are going to be joining our team, and I am thrilled by what she brings to the table. Teray and I have a great working relationship. We've stayed close for the 22 years that we've been apart. She's a hard worker, pours her heart and soul into the church. Teray cares deeply about connecting people to Jesus and the church. She thrives in assimilation. She can do a lot of things, but this is her passion. This is her niche. She is a people person, and everywhere that she has served, people love to be around her. She has that magnetic personality. She's a strong Bible teacher, and she never meets a stranger. I could go on and on, but allow me to introduce Kevin and Teray to you and allow them to tell you a little bit about themselves. Kevin and Teray, tell me a little bit about your story of how you came to faith, kind of your one-minute testimony.
I came to know Jesus when I was 20 years old. I dropped out of college. I was a waitress, and I hadn't been attending church for some years, and I had a lost feeling. And I went to a church one Sunday. That Tuesday, I called the pastor. He and his wife led me to Jesus. They discipled me. They got me serving. They connected me to the church, and I've never been the same.
Awesome. Awesome. And Kevin?
I grew up in the church, and I just loved everything about it. And one Sunday when I was 7 years old, I was just empty, and I was just like, I need Jesus. I need him to just fill my heart and fill my life. And so I walked the aisle and, you know, went to youth group and everything, and almost a recommitment when I got to college, first year of college, and just, man, I got to start living. I have to start serving the Lord, and just, it's just been great.
Well, Teray, tell us a little bit about your passion in ministry.
Well, my passion in ministry has always been the church, because those are the doors that I walked through when I felt so lost. And I've never forgotten that feeling. Through these years, I found that God uses me to connect people with other people. About 4 or 5 years ago, Kevin and I walked into a restaurant in Jackson, Mississippi. And as soon as I walked in, I had like four ladies just hug me, and they were all eating together. And I kept watching them. And he looked at me and he said, "You connected them, didn't you?" And I said, "I did. All of them have such different paths of life, but I knew each woman and I put them together in a small group." I felt called to be a connector. And I told you that day that I'm good with next steps. It's my passion. I want someone to come in that parking lot and feel, okay, my next step is to get in the door. My next step is to sit and worship. My next step is to receive. I want things to be clear as they receive worshiping the Lord Jesus and hearing the message and then leaving there, not feeling like they've just been to church, but they've been with Jesus. And so I'm a connector. I read people and want them to feel comfortable at church, but I want them to take the next step. And I'm not afraid to nudge people towards their next step, whether that's salvation or whether that's serving or whether that's being in a group or whether that's just getting through a really tough time in their lives. I might know somebody who's been through the same thing. And so that's my passion in ministry. And so when you ask me, and we were praying about it, we were like, you would get to do what you love doing.
I love that. So here's a nudge. So when are you getting here?
July 6th. We're looking at houses right now and getting to know the area and loving it.
So, Newark family, I cannot wait for you to personally meet Kevin and Teray Jasper. They are such a blessing in my life. And God continues to bless us as a church. He has assembled an incredible pastoral team. And Teray and Kevin, they need your prayers. So begin right now praying for this couple. And they will be here in early July.
Isn't it great when God does good things? I mean, it's been an absolute amazing journey. Listen, on your way out today, there's some little tables out there that have additional information. We want you to connect yourself and get to know who they are. And so pick that up also on your way out. And by the way, Kevin, Teray's husband, has already landed a job at Hopkinsville Middle School, and he described that job as his dream job. They're so excited to see what God is doing. But there's one thing that you can help us with, that you can help them with, is, listen, they're still looking for a house. Do you have any idea how tight the market is right now? So listen, if you know of a house, even if it's not on the market yet, you come tell us first, okay? And you be listening, and you be praying for them. We know that God's got the place for them, but you can help in that way. Remember the prayer that it all began with? What's next, God? Where are you taking us? And following Easter, within 2 months' time, look what God has done.
when you follow the nudge with boldness, with valor, it's amazing what can happen. You move beyond your fear. You believe beyond your knowing. And then you're ready for this next thing. You can expect beyond your limits. Listen, Gideon had all the reasons in the world to believe that God had called the wrong guy. In fact, in verse 15, listen to what God says when God tells him, you go and deliver them in the strength that you already have. In verse 15, it says that Gideon replied, but Lord, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family. In other words, he's saying, look, I don't have the strength. I can't do this. You've got the wrong guy. Do you ever feel like you're the least? That you don't have what it takes when God gives that nudge? Let me tell you, me too. Me too. Not talented enough, not smart enough, not capable enough, not good enough, too many mistakes, too much sin, too much brokenness. Gideon had every reason in the world to say, I cannot do what you're asking me to do. I cannot deliver Israel. And my guess would be, there are many of you that have stepped into his same shoes. You have felt exactly the same. God, I'm not qualified. I'm not smart enough. I don't have enough. I don't have the time. Look, God, I'm not good with kids. I'm exhausted. I gotta overcome this struggle in my life before God could ever use me. God, I can't get out of that relationship. I would be all alone. God, you can't forgive me for what I've done. We've got every excuse in the world to tell God why it is that we cannot do what he is nudging us towards. But God has the one and only answer that trumps every one of our excuses and every excuse that Gideon had. We say, I cannot, I have limits. Gideon said, I cannot deliver. But God's answer comes to him and says simply, but God can, God would, and God did deliver the people through Gideon. Do you understand? It's not about Gideon's ability or inability. It's about what God can do in and through him. And it's not about your ability or your inability. It's about what God can do in and through you. Listen to what God said in verse 16. The Lord said to him, I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites. God said, I will and you will. In other words, it is God's power at work in you. God's power at work in you. Paul writes about the very same power of God to the church in Ephesus, and this is the way he put it. He said, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Do you hear what Paul says? He prays that you would know and experience God's great power, that same great power, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, that God's incomparably great power is for us. Oh, that we would really know and embrace God's power at work in us and through us. Listen, God's already begun to change my prayer. My prayer's not just praying that God will somehow allow me to limp across an arbitrary finish line somewhere out there 10 years down the road. What I want to experience is God's power at work in us, among us, for His glory, to transform this community. I'm praying that God would do an Acts 2 kind of work in our midst, that He would enable us to be all that He sees in us. And I call you to join me in that prayer. And that brings us to this final thought. Valor is believing and moving forward, because with God, we expect well beyond any limits that we could think of. And I pray that we would experience that as we strive with Him. But listen, there's an assumption to all of this. And the assumption is this, that first of all, you've given your life to Jesus Christ personally. Do you remember what Paul said? That this is for His holy people who believe. So if you want to thrive, it begins with your relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe today, just like with Gideon, the Lord arranged all of this just to meet with you and talk with you personally. And let me tell you, when you meet the Lord, you need to know He is greater than your fear. He really does know what is best in your life, and He can take you farther than any of the limits that would hold you back. He is the one who took timid Gideon and transformed him into a mighty man of valor. My prayer is that you too would follow His leading, and that you would be brave. Would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much that You are the one who sees in us what we cannot see. Oh, we see so clearly our failure. We see so clearly our sin, our downfall. But Father, You see possibility. And so God, we do pray that we would trust You, that we would trust You more than we trust our fear, that we would believe in You, that we would believe in what You see in us more than what we know about ourselves. The Father, that we would expect You to do the great work in us as You lead and direct. Father, we pray that You would help us as Your people to be brave enough to follow You wherever You lead us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.